We're back on In Focus News Radio KMAN. I'm Brandon Peoples. We're talking with Manhattan City officials today, Deputy City Manager Jason Hilgers and Manhattan Mayor Wynn Butler. City Commission meets at 7 o'clock tonight. The final item we haven't touched on yet here on the general agenda is a discussion on the Housing Advisory Board, workforce housing discussion. That is item E on the agenda if you look on the city's website. And Jason, tell us a little bit more about what this will entail.
Yeah, thank you, Brandon. We have about three topics here. We're trying to get some feedback and input from the commission. Prior to the pandemic, we were positioned to go out for a housing study. This is a study that had been funded previously in the budget and the CIP process. The commission, the community, we were ready. We had a draft RFP to go out to select and hire a consultant to work us through quite a bit of an update. The last housing study Manhattan did was in 1999, obviously 20 some years ago, and a lot's changed in the community. And there's been a real push and a focus for just how do we move forward with a housing strategy. Another leg of the stool, part of the 0.5 question that went out to the public this past November that passed, and it'll take effect in 2023. For a sales tax, included 20% going to workforce housing. And workforce housing has its own set of parameters and issues and strategies associated with it. So you had a housing study that was teed up about a year ago. You had workforce housing now that has made its way into a sales tax question. And then we've also had requests for a housing board to be formed to advise the commission on really all things housing. So we as staff have looked at these three different perspectives and initiatives and have been trying to weigh how do we approach this so we're not overloading the community at one time, but also allowing something to sequence over the next 12, 18, 24 months in a way that we can capture the subject matter, we can create the strategies moving forward and implement all three over the course, of the next couple of years. So that's really the feedback and input we're looking for from the commission. How would they like to handle all three of these legs of the stool of housing? And then look back to, the chamber, obviously very, very supportive of the 0.5 workforce housing and the 20% that of the 6.5 million we anticipate. They're very supportive of that. How do we factor that into the housing study and the housing board? I think all three have an audience. I think there will be some overlap. We're just trying to get a feel from the commission how they'd like to proceed, knowing all three of these topics are out there.
Yeah, I think, isn't that though 10% for workforce?
I'm sorry, you're right. Economic development was 20%, workforce was 10, yep.
Just want to be sure, because otherwise you're giving them a little bit more money. About 600,000 a year is what they'll
have. My apologies, yep, you're correct.
All right, well, we know housing's an issue here, and it is a lot of places, anywhere you go in the country. But specifically, in Manhattan, we're almost kind of landlocked. I mean, we don't have a lot of room to build out here in the city. And the existing house that we do, I know there's a lot of stuff that needs repair. I mean, you see it down there by campus. What do you see as the biggest challenge right now, Mr. Bowler?
Well, I want to talk about the three points there that Jason mentioned, because he hit it sort of on the head. We got these three things, and they don't align. At first, the commission was thinking, well, we'll just put in this housing board, and that'll be the solution to all the above. And it's just too complicated, because the workforce housing question is different than the affordable housing question. It's really two different missions. And so, it may turn out that we need two distinct boards. And housing studies, I'm never a fan of paying, consultants and people to do it. But, this hasn't been done since 99, and we need some metrics. People ask questions, how many rental properties are out there? What's the mean price? There's all kinds of interesting data that can be collected. And so it seems to make sense, since that's already funded, we funded it, earlier, to go ahead and do it. And then that would be a useful starting point for both of these prospective committees to deal with. And then understanding that, you know, when you're talking about, you know, people that were interested in affordable housing, and we had a meeting at K-State, and they were interested in, you know, the condition of rental properties, tenant rights, you know, things of that nature, and property management, doing a better job of quality of the rental properties. And that's a bit different than the idea of workforce housing, which is how do we help employers get employees to live in the city so that people aren't taking a job and saying, well, I can't afford to live here. I got to go live in Milford, you know, or I got to live in Pott County and drive 30 minutes to work. That's a problem. You know, if you're going to work in the city, we'd like you to live in the city. And so that's the mission the workforce piece has, and it's got money tied to it. Now, the problem with an affordable housing board is they really don't have a source of money. So they've got to look at, you know, what is out there. And a lot of it, you know, maybe the housing study will help with this, is what I like to call misinformation. But like one of the things I found interesting was when we had the meeting at K-State, there were renters that were complaining that, you know, we needed a rental inspection program. And I asked them why. And they said, because the appliances that my, you know, landlord has in the apartment don't work. And of course, the code office doesn't inspect appliances. That would have nothing to do with appliances. And so we've got to get it focused on, and I'm sure that's a problem. But see, code inspection isn't going to solve the fact that some appliance doesn't work, because the code office doesn't have control of that. And so we need to focus and come up with what I call real world solutions, and get away from perceptions and things where people say, well, I heard this happened 5 years ago. We need to nail this down. And that's what I'm looking forward to seeing these boards do. But I think probably starting with a housing study may be the way to do it. The workforce group, as Jason says, really won't be any money there until 2023. So at least we need to get that board up and running by 2022. So they've got time to do some long range planning.
It makes total sense. Have some time before the money pours in. And then you do that, and you've, if you have a plan in place, you can start implementing that probably pretty soon thereafter. What are some have you seen successful communities do a workforce housing initiative, Jason? I don't think a lot of us know exactly what that's going to look like.
Yeah, and when we look around, Lawrence is probably the closest community, you know, in similar size, university community. Manhattan obviously has to deal with a lot of students, a lot of rentals. You know, our percentages for apartments and rentals have been about 60% of our total inventory on housing. About 40% has been single family homes. So when you get into communities like Manhattan and Lawrence, you really got a dynamic that is similar. And you do want to look to university communities for guidance on how they've approached these things. Lawrence did a housing study in 2015. It's about a 200-page document. It's available right there on their website. We were just out last week before, taking a look at that. There's some very interesting data, as the mayor said. There's also scenarios, you know, where you take a couple, or you take an individual, and you look at different salary ranges that they bring in, and what can they afford in your community. That's the type of data that, you know, right now there's a lot of guesswork in terms of what a single person making $50,000 can afford, or a couple making $80,000, averaging 40 per, and what they can afford, and just how much of that stock is actually out there in our community available to that, you know, beginner work, you know, a 25 to 30 year old who has their college degrees, they've got professional jobs. That's one segment. Then you've got the high school degree making X dollars, what can they afford? And you look at then the inventory of your community, there's a lot of folks that believe that rental, that student rental is, you know, that's an opportunity for anyone, you know, living 30, 35, 40, but that may not be the choice of those individuals to go live amongst the 18 to 22, 25 year olds. You know, then you get into communities like ours where, yeah, what is the choice? What's the preference? And will they move to another community because that preference isn't available? So Lawrence has done a really good job in 2015. And then in 2018, they adopted a five-year strategy on what type of product they were going to put resources towards in order to generate the level of housing they viewed as most deficient, most unavailable in their community in order to remain attractive and provide a cross section of housing for their community. It's really the housing study alone will magnify or at least show us where we're deficient. I think it's going to clearly show you've got a lot of housing, and some would even argue you have too much rental housing right now for students. But it's not the same argument you would then make for rental housing for a different segment of your population. And it's not that it's not acceptable or even livable. It's where will they go? You know, will they go a block east of North Manhattan and live amongst all the students? I mean, those are choices that those individuals could make, but will they? And I think the study will help sift out just kind of where the dynamics and the demographics are in our community.
Yes, and that's a solid point, Jason. It's interesting because the workforce housing component has the ability to be combined with some ideas of, you know, community redevelopment, because what I feel is that, you know, we've seen a lot of student housing rental properties being built by corporations. I mean, look at what's next to the Bluemont Hotel. And so what that has done is put what I would consider to be some pretty quality rental properties out there. And maybe that's attracting the students, which means some of the older rentals, some of the converted houses that go all the way back to the 1950s are vacant because there's an overabundance of rental properties now for the student population. So is there some way that workforce housing can cause those to be put back into single family homes, renovated? How do you make that happen? And it's almost like if you could create an incentive, like we try to incentivize businesses to come in through economic development, but we don't incentivize someone to say, okay, I'll take over this property, put money in it, you know, rebuild it so that it becomes you know, very desirable. And can we do that somehow through this workforce housing? And basically, you know, like I use the example of what we did with Civics Plus. They came in and took over 80s, and they built a nice building, and they got a tax abatement on everything above the price 80s was paying for property tax. But why can't you do that to somebody that buys an older property and say, we'll freeze your property tax, and if you put $100,000 in it, your property tax will stay flat for 10 years as an incentive. And maybe we can get some of these properties that people are concerned about that say they look horrible as we drive by them back into the rolls. Now, some of that may involve some zoning also, you know, so that they're not zoned multifamily, and it'll be a gradual transition. And probably, you know, it'll never be a case where an entire area that is now multifamily would result all to R1, but a portion of it might. And a lot of it has to be the desires, you know, like we went high density up there, the northern end, you know, where the Bluemont is and stuff like that. And it's probably not going to work there, but other parts of the city, you know, it may.
All right. Very interesting. We'll see how that discussion goes here tonight. Again, that's item E on the agenda. Housing Advisory Board, Workforce Housing Discussion. We're going to take a break. More in Focus continues after this on News Radio KMAN.